7. We're going to be reading from Mark 7 this morning, verses 24 through 30. Don, I thought about saying we're going to read from Ezekiel chapter 37 this morning and just throw you that curveball, but you're so good that I'm sure you'd be ready to handle that. So, but Mark chapter 7, and if you will, if you're able to stand out of respect for God's word, will you stand as I read from his word this morning? Let's read it together. It says this, I'll read it, you follow along. Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 24, and I'm reading out of the New International Version. It says this, Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First, let the children eat all they want, he told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she replied, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, for such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. And as you're seated, let's welcome up Don Ralston, who's been a pastor for a long, long time, and just a guy that we've got a lot of respect for. Don, take it over.
Thank you. A couple of months ago, Pastor Rick called me and invited me to preach this Sunday. And I said, sure, that's no problem. I 40 years of ministry, I got a lot of sermons in the barrel. And so I said, sure, I'll be glad to. And they said, oh, by the way, we're doing a series on Mark. You're going to have to write your sermon. And I said, oh, well, I can handle that. And he said, well, by the way, the scripture is Mark 7, 24 through 30. And I said, okay. And then I read it. And I said, well, maybe I ought to call and cancel. But no, I said, you know, you've done it for 40 years. You ought to be able to find something out of this scripture that'd be worth preaching on. And I think I have. And so I'd like to share with you, as we continue in your study in the book of Mark, we come to this passage of a mother who is desperate for her child. As much as she would have liked to handle this situation herself, it was impossible. With little information giving us regarding her identity, we don't know her name, we don't really know much about her, but we find that she was a woman who evidently had some kind of faith. She faced tremendous needs and was determined to get to Jesus. Desperately had needs. She was content to receive, as it says, the crumbs that fell from the Lord's table. Now, if you're like me, there are times when we struggle at getting what in the world is Jesus trying to tell us here? You know, this is a pretty hard scripture for us to really get a whole lot out of it. But let's see if we can make sense of it. While our circumstances are very different from this woman, no doubt we have all faced circumstances in our life at times when we are desperate. We've been confronted by situations that are beyond our ability to resolve. And during these situations, we need to come in faith just like this woman did. When we lack ability, when we're unsure of what to do, our hope is that Jesus can provide for our need. He possesses great power, and he cares about our needs. Scripture tells us that over and over again, doesn't it? He is more than able to provide, and with this thought in mind, let's see the challenging text and see if we can consider what these crumbs under the table really are. Now, the first thing I want us to look at is the mother's request. It's a pretty simple thing. Verse 24, it tells us that although Jesus desired to remain sort of secretive, not wanting a whole lot of attention, he got it anyway. word spread that he was in the area. And he's quickly approached by this mother who is desperate. Consider her dilemma in verse 25 and 6. A woman whose little daughter possessed an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. Now, the text doesn't detail how long she had been in this desperate situation. But clearly, she had no control over this spirit and stood in need of Jesus' help. Often these spirits are difficult to cast out. If you've read through the Gospels, you'll find other circumstances that not only Jesus, but the disciples confronted. In fact, if you read on in Mark chapter 9, you'll read about that, following an encounter where the disciples were unable to cast out a demon. The disciples questioned Jesus about this, and he revealed to them the solution in verse 29, in chapter 9. He replied, "This kind can come out by only prayer and fasting." Now, in reality, we all face situations that require the Lord's power and the Lord's provision, don't we? And somehow this desperate woman had found out about Jesus. We don't know whether she had just heard stories, whether she had witnessed some other miracles that Jesus performed, but when she found out Jesus was in town, she came to him, and it says she fell at his feet. Could there be more of an act of submission and worship than that? Think about it. How often do we fall at the feet of Jesus? Probably not too often, do we? But here, this woman did it immediately, and although she was unable to handle the situation she faced, somehow she believed that Jesus was the answer to her need. And so she humbled herself before the Lord in an attitude of worship. I believe that this is an important aspect of faith, if we stop and look at it. It's often overlooked and I think neglected here in the 21st century. Some view, I think, Jesus as sort of their personal genie in a bottle. You know, you rub it and get three wishes. I wish to be rich. I wish for a new car. I wish for, and of course, some of them aren't so selfish. Some of them, I wished my friend would be healed, or I wish I would be healed. They assume that Jesus is just waiting for them to rub the bottle in the right way, and he appears and meets their all request. What I'm thankful for is the Lord's care provision in our lives, but I need also to be aware of his deity and my need to worship him. Every prayer and every aspect and every request we bring to him should be preceded by a time, I think, of worship. Years ago, I read a book about it, you know, how to come to him, and to think of it as an acronym of ACTS. Some of you know this. A-C-T-S. Adoration. Tim knows it. Praise God. Praise you, Lord. And offering our praise. The C is confession. You got it. You know, because at times, especially, we need to come and to ask God so that we can experience his cleansing, his forgiveness. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving. Lord, thank you. And what have we to thank him for? One of the things my wife and I have been trying to practice on every night when we go to bed, one of us will say three things to be thankful for from today. Sometimes they're pretty simple. Sometimes they're glorious things. But either way, it's a practice of that thanksgiving. And then the S, we get now to, this is stretchy a little bit. We don't use this word supplication too much, but this is where we bring our con- our request before the Lord. Not, Lord, give me, Lord, do this, Lord. And that's so much of our prayers, isn't it? I'm guilty of it. But when we practice this, when we humble ourselves, she threw herself at his feet. She worshiped him. And did you notice the major issue here in our text? The situation. What's the issue? Well, the woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She was not, we're not given her name, but she is identified simply by her race and nationality. She was not a Jew, but a Canaanite. While the Jews may have tolerated her existence to live in the town, they would not have allowed her into the synagogue. Nor would she even been involved in their fellowship. Canaanites were rejected by the Jews because the Canaanites had rejected Jehovah in the Old Testament and continued to live in rebellion and idolatry. She would have not been welcome among the Jews because of who she was. It's amazing how Jesus treats her, isn't it? Although I thought of her difficulty, it reminded me that each of us is oftentimes in a similar situation. We are born into a condemned race. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, we are all separated from God because of the nature with which we are born. In this day and age, we don't talk about it a lot, and even in church, that we are born with a sin nature and separated from God. I was thinking about, how do I explain that? Well, let me ask you, how many of you had to teach your children to lie? You know, I my wife and I never had the privilege of having children, but I've heard stories before. One of my favorites is, you know, mom comes in, kid's got a crayon in hand, there's crayon markings all over the wall. She looks at the color, she looks at the wall, and she says, Johnny, did you do that? No. Now, did that parent teach that child that? No. It's our basic nature. We're selfish. We're self-centered. We're seeking to preserve ourselves. And maybe little Johnny was trying to preserve himself. Think about it. Yeah. We're all born just like this woman, separated from God's people, condemned. The Bible tells us that we were born with that sin nature and therefore separated from God. Some people question that today. But as I said, I think it's pretty simple to recognize that it's very, very true. Paul puts it this way, for all have sinned and fall short. That's our nature. So now back to this desperate woman. She comes and she begs Jesus to cast out the evil spirit from her daughter. And although she was a Canaanite, she came somehow with enough faith to believe that Jesus had the power to do this. She needed a miracle, and she believed that this Jesus that she'd heard about and maybe even witnessed could do this for her. And she needed a miracle, and it's interesting to note that the word begged here, in the Greek, if you knew the context, you knew that it was a continual action. It says that she comes and begs Jesus and begs, begging and begging him to deliver her daughter. To me, I look at this and I see this passage as a beautiful picture of grace. One deemed unworthy, a Greek woman, came before the Lord passionately seeking his touch. And like this woman, we must come and as people of faith, willing to continually bring our needs before the Lord. And often we face situations that require prolonged and persistent prayer. And we cannot give up on our loved ones or upon our needs. that we face. We believe the fact that the part that why the story is told is to remind us that we must be willing to continue seeking the Lord to meet our needs. And we will, and we see that initially the mother didn't get the request that she asked for, does he? In fact, she would have to be persistent. Notice the admonition Jesus shares with her, and this is a hard one for us to understand, isn't it? Jesus says to her, "First let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right for the children's bread to and take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." Now, on the surface, this response seems pretty harsh, doesn't it? This is what makes this passage to me and many of you probably so hard. Why would Jesus respond like that? Well, on the surface, it seems out of character. However, I think as we study and look at the scripture, and seek to understand the statement, we discover that Jesus, if we believe who he is really never harsh with those who come to him in genuine faith. This woman comes, and as we look at it, this really isn't, at this point, a statement of rejection, but rather of conviction and revelation. The woman recognized Jesus as a man of great power. "You can help me." Being willing to humble herself before him, she comes with a request that she may have believed that he was the promised Messiah. I don't know what her understanding of who Jesus was. Probably she saw him just as a miracle worker. And it appears that Jesus is seeking to lead her forward in her faith, not only recognizing him as a miracle worker, but as the Messiah who was promised, although I'm not sure she could grasp that because she didn't have the background of the Old Testament, but as someone who is from God. Clearly, Jesus had come to the house of Israel. He is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. But we also know he never rejected those with genuine faith. And so he sought to, I think, increase her faith, to expand it so that she could embrace him not merely as a miracle worker, but as the Lord, as Jesus, who we know as the Messiah. If she was to receive, she needed to believe. The second part of his response seems even harsher, but it began again, that was never Jesus' intention. He's seeking to deepen her understanding of who he is. It would not be right to take the bread of the gospel and carelessly cast it to those who have no desire to serve God, to embrace Jesus as Lord. Salvation is a work of grace through faith. Paul teaches us that very clearly in the New Testament. Ephesians 2:8, probably many of you anyway could tell me, "For by grace you are saved through faith, not of works, so that no one can boast." It's not something we earn. It's not something we deserve. It comes out of the love of God, out of his grace. All who would not receive him as the Christ, he had no desire to carelessly deal with those like the Pharisees. Jesus didn't have much to do with them, did he? Or at least didn't want to. But this woman, she was something. Look at her reply to Jesus. "Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Notice that the first word that she says, "Lord," this desperate woman had come with a certain amount of faith and understanding, and she was committed to receiving her request for her daughter. And as Jesus spoke, of giving the children's bread to the dogs, she declared that even the dogs are allowed to have the crumbs. She knew that Jesus had somehow the ability to meet that need, and her desire was to receive even the smallest portion of his grace. Her faith in the Lord realized that even the smallest touch from him was sufficient. And while this woman was a Canaanite, non-Jew, her faith stands for us here as a model for all. She knew the problem that she faced, and it was beyond her ability, but certainly not beyond Jesus' ability to handle. And friends, what that tells me is that this is the kind of faith that you and I need, to believe that Jesus can handle any circumstance that we face. We must trust the Lord to meet every need that we have. It was probably 25 years ago, in my home church on a Sunday, they were building a new sanctuary, and they had just put up the wall board and hadn't put the texture on it yet. And after the service, the pastor said, "For anyone who wants, take a pen and go write your favorite verse on the wall board, on the sheetrock. It's going to be covered over anyway, but we'll put it there." Well, my mom, I find out what her favorite verse was. Proverbs 3:5-6. "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." That's the kind of faith that we need. You know, to me, that was such an assurance when I found out that was my mom's favorite verse. It was, yeah, she does get it. She does understand. Like this Greek woman, this Canaanite, this one separated from God's people, we too must recognize his power. One of my favorite passages is in Ephesians chapter 3, and at the very end of that chapter it says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us, to him be glory in his church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations." Now, who does that include? That's us, isn't it? For how long? Forever and ever. And then he ends with the word amen, meaning so be it, let it happen. So what's the outcome of our scripture this morning? Well, after bringing requests to Jesus and remaining persistent in faith, Jesus provides, doesn't he? Tim read it a minute ago. "And then Jesus told her, 'For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter.'" Jesus recognized her faith and responded to that, and her commitment to the Lord by faith compelled Jesus to give her, to grant her request. Look at the same story in Matthew chapter 15. It's good sometimes to compare stories. It's towards the end, verse 28 tells us, "Then Jesus said to the woman," this same woman, "Woman, you have great faith." Who is she? A Greek, a Syrian Phoenician, a Canaanite. You can get all sorts of descriptions given for her. But what does he say about her? "You have great faith. Your request is granted." A Canaanite woman, her faith was essential, and it brought the results she desired. Friends, I think that it is impossible to overemphasize the importance of faith in our lives. Think about it. Faith is essential for salvation. We've talked about that already. Write down Ephesians 2:8-9. Go read them. Go study them. Go memorize them. Faith is essential. We are saved by grace through faith. Faith is essential also to maintain our fellowship with God. We will never be able to continue in our faith journey apart from faith. Faith is also essential as we come before the Lord to pray. And as we pray, we need to believe that Jesus can and will meet our needs. We see her miracle in the last verse. She went home and found her child lying on the bed, and the demon was gone. She'd come in faith, and Jesus did not disappoint. She returned home with the promise that her daughter would be delivered, and when she got there, it had been done. Faith brought her to Jesus. Faith sustained her through the trial, and faith brought about deliverance. Passages like this are sometimes difficult for us to understand. But as we look at them closely, we can see that they really do offer us great encouragement, great hope, as we are reminded of the power and the ability of our God to meet our needs. Now, for some, though, they can also create a bit of a discouragement. For we are faced with various difficulties in life. Maybe we've prayed many prayers of faith and have yet to receive the answer that we desire. We must remember, though, that woman was persistent. She came begging, continually begging. We must remember that the initial response from Jesus was not a promise of healing, but she kept at her request. And while he doesn't always answer in the time or manner we desire, we need to be persistent as well. One of my very best friends is dying of cancer. And I've been praying for him, and I continue to pray for him. But I don't see the answer my heart desires. But I do see this, that God's faithfulness is consistent. For my friend Bill is a man of faith. And as I stopped and saw him on Thursday, he's to the point now where it's very difficult for him to communicate anything. And all I could do was most of the talking. And what kind of words do you offer? At the end of our visit, I went and I put my arms around him, and he put his arms around me, and all I could say was, I know there's a better time that's coming, when words will no longer be trapped, and there will be no more sorrow and no more tears. My genie doesn't work, but my God is faithful. And my friend looks forward to a day of hope. Sometimes God heals. Maybe I ought to put it in a different way. God always heals. He just doesn't always heal in the way we hope. some of you have been there with me. But can we join together and say, my hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust in anything but him. Friends, I don't know what you're facing today. Maybe there's a struggle in your own personal life or someone that is close to you. But I am certain of this, that Jesus knows your every need. And if you're struggling in life, desperate for him to touch you, then he says, come to me like this faith of this woman. Put yourself at my feet. Praise him for who he is. If you need to confess something, get it out and get rid of it. Offer your thanksgiving and then bring your request to him. Trust that he can meet your need according to his divine will. He's no genie in a bottle, but he is God of all creation. And he can be your God. So today, even now, let's take a moment. And is there something you need to offer to him in prayer? I take a moment just for you to offer that to him. A Canaanite woman came in faith and threw herself at the feet of Jesus and was received by him. And he heard her prayer and answered. He can do the same for you as you come Thank you, Lord. We praise you for your greatness. Just as we sang a few moments ago, you truly are the God of all creation. The one who has come to save us, but even more, the one who has come to give us direction and power to live for you in a world that so desperately needs to hear good news. Lord, help us live out our faith this week. And Father, I just take this moment to pray for this particular church at this particular time, this day as they're making decisions, that your Holy Spirit will be guiding the elders of this church as they make their presentation, and each one, Lord, as they consider, may your will be done. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen.